Please turn to Tosis Kuf Lamed Ches Amar Aleph. The Cholhanu Da Svinan Bebeitza. End of Tosis Kise. Very end. Omer Ben Atam the Dafka Dvarim Sheesh and Mechita Al Oretz. Aval Hoshiv Hakder Al Tripod. Knows what a tripod is? Okay. Biyomtiv Shari. Afilim Ilamata Lamala. Ulohavi A Tripod Tchila. V'chakach lehoshev akdeira. V'chein lehoshev ashukhan al gabi saf solin. To put a table on and rest it on benches. Ubeyas o kdeira v'chavita o puria. Yesh loma sheyesh lo mechitza. If there's a mechitza, then it's awesome. No mechitza is mutter. That's what they say over here. But it's even a bigger chiddush, which we saw already yesterday, and the day before, and the day before. We've seen it all week. Tosis lamed vav mebeis. We'll see it now for the fifth time. Chazara is always appropriate. I tell you, Chazara is not only appropriate on Sifrei Musar, it's appropriate in Gemara and Tosfos also. Lamed Vav Amid Beis, the bottom Tosfos. What does Tosfos say? What do you see? You see Ki Yosfu Chacham Olar, our last four lines. Hani Minik Sha'osad Fanos Tchila B'chakach HaKisui. Before Shabbos, lo achmer abon less than the algaba. So you see in Tosfos Lamed Vav, it's not enough that there are mechitzas. You have to make the mechitzas on Shabbos. If they're from there from Friday, it's not a problem. Good. Narabos, when he's talking about mechitzas, how many? Everyone has a Mishnah Berurah, please open up. You see exactly how many mechitzas you need. We saw the rush on the screen a couple days ago, but let's see how it translates into the Shulchan Aruch and the Mefarsh. Please open up if you don't mind. Shin Tes Vov Sif Gimel. Shin Tes Vov Sif Gimel. Mita Shemamidim Osa also Laniach Araglayim Tchila Laniach Alaleim Hakrashim. That's exactly what we just saw. It's a Mefurusha Gemara, right? Eliyosim Hakrashim Tchila Vavir. This is called Mimala Lemata. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Vahani milik sheraglayim hein tapim uchubarim kol dafnei teva. There are walls. Avaraglayim shel mitos shelanu. What kind of, we have legs, we don't have walls. Right? Our beds have four legs, right? You slept in the bed last night? Did it have four walls or four legs? The four walls?
Yeah.
Yeshiva is very, very standard. We're very old-fashioned. This is a traditional yeshiva. We shouldn't be called progressive or modern. We're traditional. Right. We have the mitzvah shalahem. Not the mitzvah shalom, the modernishes like I have in my house with four legs. Okay? Avaraglayim shal mitzvah shalonu v'chein ragli ha-shulchan. Tables. You ever have a table with four walls? Ever saw one of those?
Yeah.
So, some desks, right? Actually, just look at my desk. I have two walls. Look at that. Shoo, I'm semi-traditional. Semi-traditional two walls. Muta b'chol gavna. They're talking about only spindly little thin legs in each corner. That's considered to be permissible. Fine? Now, how many walls are walls? There's one, two, three, and four. Or zero. So let's take a look in Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah and see what it says over here. The question is raised, how many walls? Let's take a look at Rosai in the Mishnah Berurah and see how he explains it. Sivkotn Chav Beis. Dafnei HaTeva. Kosev HaTaz. Av Shibetur Isa. Dalet Dabin Mechubarin. And he wears his swords for the tour. His father. He owes this to our father, right? He's listening to your father. Dalet Dafnei. Four. We saw the rush at four. Lavdafku. Didn't really mean four. The mimita shederech lishtamish bavira mitachas vanochas min olim. Putting the slippers. We talked about this a few days already. Oser afilu kshayesh l'rak shnei dapim mishnei tzodim hamagiyin lorenz. The bishtayim levad choshev olim mechitzes. How do you know? Ukid lakamei b'sivov v'nyin chavios. Sivov? That correct? Was it a typo? What's Zivov? What's Zivov? Shemesad bin Chov Yazu Agabizu. Here it is. Achas Agabe Shtayim. Correct. Some say it means Zion, really. But Zivov also has one on two. Not one on, right? One on two. There's only two over here. So you see, two is the same as four. So says the Taz. So says the Taz. Two is the same as four. The question, of course, becomes, so why does it say four? Why does it say four? Look at the holy Taz. Look what it says. Aval b'shulchan the matter shulchan aruch hu afil k'sheish lo ma'ad mechitz, even if you have two. Ve'na osa k'sheish lo dal dapen, called teva. What's teva mean? It's a closed closet to protect things. The oschoshiv oel ba'anokas adaf v'lemala. Because if you have four walls, you can put these in the four walls. You can use as a storage area. Should the balavachi, if it's a table, and only has two walls, stomo in a omer d'shtamish b'aviro. Because you're not going to use the air underneath it. Uksheinu mishtamish b'aviro lo choshiv oel k'lkameisiv zayin. Okay, so shilo dalatavim mikolatz dodin kamo teva does roy lishtamish ba'aviro. So says the Taz. Notice the Taz is mixing various opinions in over here. It's not his fault. The Shulchan Aruch is mixing in opinions. This concept of mishtamish ba'avish atachlim is never found in the Tosfos. Never. Who said it? The Rashba. But the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rashba. That's the issue over here. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rashba. Look in Siv Zayin. Mutar laniach sefer echad mikan ve'echad mikan ve'echad agabein. Ramah. Hol vein sorach la'avish atachteyen. Who said all this? Who said this? We know who said this. He quotes from the Ran. The Ran quotes from the Rashba. There's a mixing in of the Rashba Shita into Tosfos Shita. Siv Dal and Siv Zayin are almost incompatible. Dal is Tosfos and Zayin is the Rashba. We have to see what's going on over here. That's what we have to wait till Sunday. Get a clearer, two clear opinions as to what exactly is happening. In any event, the point of the Taz is as follows. The Lashon of the Ran, let's take a look at the Ran again one more time. It's page Kuf Nun Zayin in our print, or it's Nun Vav and Beis in the old print. Just to see the words, the Taz and the Medayik and every word of the Ran. We've seen about it a few times in the Rosh and the Ran, where two consecutive phrases are used, and the question is which one is the real main one? Is it the first one or is it the second one? Which one is it? Take a look. It's page Kuf Nun Zayin Vekosvu, right before Umita. Okay? This is as follows. We're discussing the concept that they're discussing over here, that if there are mechitzas milamata, watch this, if there are mechitzas milamata, and the mechitzas milamata, what do they achieve? It's on the first narrow line in our print in the column 2. Mechitzas milamata, u'mishtamish ba'avir shetachtov. Which one is it? Is it the mechitzas, or is it the mishtamish ba'avir shetachtov? Claims the Taz. It's really the second phrase that's the controlling phrase. Mishtamish v'avir shetachtov. What's by mechitzis? Well, mechitzis is just a hechad timtza. It's just a prerequisite, if you will, to achieve the level of mishtamish v'avir shetachtov. And how, pray tell, how many do you need? Depends. If it's a table and there's no other use except for storage purposes, you need four. If it's a bed, you keep your slippers, it's enough to have two. Frankly, I don't see why you have to have two. According to the Taz. Well, even if there's none. I guess if there's none there, it's too wide open, you're not going to keep your slippers there. Something along those lines. But the Taz makes a great point that the Iker is the second phrase. Mishtamish be'aver shetachtov. That's the main controlling phrase. If there are two, then you can't hide things, but at least you can put your sandals underneath it. Okay. Of course, the question becomes, Rabbi Elsai, why do you need four when it comes to a mita? Take a look at what Rabbi say in the Korban of Sandal here, Sifkot Melamed. Please turn to see this question. Korban of Sandal, at the bottom of the Rosh, here in our Perek. I think it's here, I'm not sure. Let me double check, make sure it's here. Maybe it's in Mesechta Beitza. Hold on a second. Upon second thought, I don't think it's here. No. The Korban Asana, I cannot show Korban Asana, is found in the Mesechta Beitza. So I'm not going to put it on the screen now. They don't have Korban Asana anyway. Unless they get the actual page. We'll do with that for the moment. Here's the Kasha. What about Mita? See, here's a Chiddush. Take a look at the Shaar HaTzion. You can see his Chiddush quoted and rejected, by the way. The Shaar HaTzion is in Sifkot and Chav Aleph. Okay? The Mishnah Berurah said in Sifkot and Yudzayin, like this. Hakdama Ktsara, very important Hakdama. The last five lines of page 244. Like this. Af, Mashal, Asala, Binyan. Ben, Mechitas, Ben, Begad, Chayu, Kol Shkinavo, says Kol Agag. Some require Aver Tachtov. It's a tricky business because that's Siv Zion, but that's opinion those posts may not hold from the first post. Okay. Chaf Aleph and Shaar HaTzion. Lafuki im hoyo a mechitzas kavu ne kor bezan bakom. Afilim hoyo dal a mechitzas. Kwa shet siya shoganoch in dapim a chubarik. Yeah. Udo lo ken is Siv Chayim. That's the kor ben asan of the same person. Shirotzo lechayish de bedal a mechitzas. Can't be, because the Torah says four mechitzas, and still he says in Tavkuf Beis only the mechitzas b'Shabbos. Tosfos Beis Lamed Beis says Mita, only mechitzas b'Shabbos. No distinction between two and four. He rejects the Korban Asan. Fine. He presumably is going with the opinion of the Taz. If you ask me, my personal opinion, no one's going to like this, but I think I saw it somewhere. I can't find it. No difference in two and four. They said four, they said two. It's a question of the Metzias. The Metzias was they had four. And in the Chanami, they had two. Or, if you want to say it differently, since the Metzias was they had four, so two is kind of a shaloki derech. It's kind of not a normal thing. But if it's normal to have two, it's the same as four. That's what I would have said on my own. Now, it's interesting, look at the Shaar HaTzion in Sifkot Lamed, Shaar HaTzion Lamed, because it's in the last time Mishnah Berurah, he says over here, Yesh Machron Mishnah Mitzadim Lahokl B'Shulchan Lahaniach Alavdaf Lamala Afilu K'sheyesh Abba Mechitzin B'Kol Tzad. Why? The Mistama Ein Tzorach Leivish Tachta Im Lo Shadakol Lisham Misham. The Shulchan says no, only Ragli HaShulchan because they're only legs, but if they had a wall we should be strict, which is the opinion of the Taz. So just pointing out the different opinions are found in the halacha lemaisa. In any event, Rabbi Osai, let's go. Our beds have only legs. Only legs. Take a look in the Bir Halacha Mita Shalanu. Uladas Rashba Bechidushov, and the Ran quotes it as well. Kona Beis Yosef. Dim Tzorech Lavir Shetachla L'Shtamesh Osir Afilim Alom Mechitzes. And what's the raya? Good. He calls it a goad. I have that in mind. Gimel Vav Da, I always call it a good. He's calling it goad. We'll come to the Gemara in a minute. Al kein b'mita shalanu gam kein osur. The mishtamish b'avir b'anochas min alayim v'chayotzi bo. It's quoted, two opinions. The mechaber here is Mekil. And the grub or the raya, we spoke about the raya at length. Of course, the question becomes, if the mechaber here is Mekil, the question is, where did all this come from? So again, the piece arrived from good. Okay? Arrived from good. What's good? Take a look at that. Kuf Lamed Ches Amad Aleph. Back where we came from. Kuf Lamed Ches Amad Aleph. Kuf Lamed Ches Amad Aleph. Hagud, the third line. Hagud. Everyone see it? Says Rashi. Third lower line of Rashi. Who are shall behema tafur, who piv racham ma'od, v'yeshlo shnatzin v'oved rachim emalan also yayin ocholav, v'mokom shetokin shama aleim lalun. V'shotchin also who piv masuach agabi yeseros. Baruach noveres mitachlav v'mitztanin shli yiskalkal ayayin. Habidom ala'ol achashinimta. What's going on over here? There's a huge canteen, the very wide top, and you would put it down near your tent when you overnight on your safari trip to who knows what desert, and you want the wind to blow underneath that huge canteen to cool down the wine which is in it so it shouldn't spoil. So when you pull that, we'll call it a leather top over the big canteen, that itself is a violation of Oel. Frek the Rashba, where the mechitzas is? See mechitzas? I don't see mechitzas. Says the Rashba, we don't need mechitzas. Why? Mishtamish ba'avir shetachto. This is the opinion of the Rashba. This is his opinion. This is where he got it from. Fine. This is where he got it from. Good. Now, question. Rabosai, don't we put our feet under the table? Don't we use it? I'm asking you a question. What do you use more? Under the table or under the bed? I use under the table. I put my feet, look right now, my feet are under the table. What's going to put them? But under the bed, yes?
You're not using the table. That's just because where else are you
going to
put your feet?
Very good. So the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa says, that's not a separate use. Putting your sandals under the table is a separate use and is viewed as such. So you call Mishtamish Barba Shetachta. However, putting your legs under the table, that's not a separate use. You're eating. You want to eat lunch. But where you put your feet? Nebuch. You have nowhere to put them. So you got to put them under the table. That's not a separate use. So we disregard that. It's not considered Mishtamish Barba Shetachta. That's what he says. Yes?
But even with like slippers or something that you're putting on your bed, it's not like you specifically want them to be under the bed. It's just that you want them to be out of the way, and so that sure, space is already taken up.
Okay.
So you put them under the bed.
I hear what you're saying. Okay, fine. I saw two authors say the same thing. Two. I don't have the time to go into it right now. I'm just trying to save time. I found it in the. This is what the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa says. Again, just save time. You can look it up. It's in Perek Chaf Dalet Ha'ora Samach Tes. I found the Orchel Shabbos and the Hilchel Shabbos for Shabbos said exactly the same thing, which I have questions about. They say in the olden days they used to recline on the side of the table. So they didn't have the legs under the table. Today it would be different. You know what's going on, Achumra? Today's tables are different than their tables. Their tables, you'd recline this way, and so there's nothing under the table. Today, all legs on the table, it's more chumra. I have a kasha from the Haggadah. It's true that they had that saber in those days, but I recall when I said Haggadah last time, it said, Shabbachal is anu ochlim, nu?
Bein
yoshin, bein mesuvim. So they had mesuvim, but they also had yoshin. I mean, they had yoshin, they put their legs under the table. It's like a kasha against these two holy mechabrim. The Haggadah shall pay some. So then they, but the Hilchos Shabbos, Shabbos add something. People will put their chairs under the table. Oh. That's already true. You know, in my house, it's true just to get out of the way. Your svara is correct, but it doesn't matter. Same as no, you have a dining room table. You have all the chairs out the whole time. You can't get around. So when there's no one there, you put it like this. Emes, in your house, the dining room table. You know, during the week, no one's eating there. You're in the shop. Where the chair? You're under the table. No, that's a good horror. That's a good horror. I still doesn't answer what happened in the old days. They also put their feet under the table. They still have Shlomo Zalman's Svara. But anyway, I'm just letting you know what it says in the Rashba, in the Ran. We just saw it. That the Shulchan in those days at least was different. Now, Sif Zion. We saw it before. Sif Zion. Mutla niach sefer echad mikan echad mikan echagabeyen. Why? Because you're not, the Rambam explains, ain't sorach lavash atachteyen. Wait a minute. And so we don't follow the Rashba. We follow like Tosfos. Says the holy Bir Halacha we just came from. The Ramah quotes the Rashba only Lahokel. The Bina and Sheikh Amomit the Shvishnamash Baviro. Avalo de Bazel Levadai. Wow. Wow. He's making like the Rashba? No. Forgive me, Kate. You won't take it the wrong way? There's a certain word used which I don't want to even say. What's the Mechavik on the coolest of the Rashba and the coolest of the Bali Atosis? Both? They have two different shot in the Gemara. How can you have the coolest of both? What is he saying? So it's true. It's true. On the Yisdaiti, he says, many we shown him, goes a whole slew. He didn't want to be Machmer against them. Alright? Etc. Then he says, you know what? He gives in at the end. The Chathila Nirish and Tovlochus and Divya Rashbullah Achmir, and Lo Bishas Atchak. So we follow the Rashba LaHachmir against the Mechaber, and even though he's making like the Rashba in Siv Zayin, that's a compromise over here of the Bir Halacha. I would say, if I cared, let's be Machmir like Tosfos too. Because Rome we showed him whole like Tosfos, we should be Machmir like the Rashba. Rebbeinu Shalom. So why are you Maran Bet Yosef and Ramon and Siv Zayin be make like the Rashba against the Rovi Shonim? What's going on over here? He had a problem. He says, rattles off. You all like Tosfos. All right. You might want to like the Rashba also. Why not? Not a bad idea. But he was make like the Rashba against Tosfos. Unless you'll say, that take the word four literally. The Rashba didn't say four at the end of the day. There were only two. So if there are only two, the mutter called the Tosfos the Rosh lacks four. Called the Rashi's mutter, don't even have a shatakas. So the mutter called to everybody. That's the only way I can explain Siv Zayin without having him coolers on all sides. On all sides. Fine. Now, Rabosai, let's take a look over here in the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkoton Yud Gimel. Sivkoton Yud Gimel. We saw in Siv Beis, based on the Gemara in Erevin, and based on the Gemara Shabbos before, we saw, you can be Mosif Alo Al Aroi. Okay? So there's Mishnah Berurah, Gimel says as follows. See the Shulchan Aruch what it says. If you have Eitzim, Shetokan, Roshan, Be'echad, Be'dofen, Hasmina, and you bend it over the other side, you make a Machtelus, a mat, Im Yesh, Berachov, and Tefach. Okay? If there's a Tefach, O afilu ein berachman tefach, im ein bein zel azeh shlosh tefachim, chashivi ka'oel, umutu lefros alein b'shabas matzelis. Tosefes ol aroi b'shori. Fine. So if it's prusak adei tefach, you can finish the rest of it. That's the Mishnah Berurah. Sherocha v'eitz ogol oya tefach. Afilu rak b'yechad mehen. V'chein ma'ashakosu im ein bein zel azeh, hainu gamken, afilu rak b'mokom echad, v'arminun lovud, and then you can extend it beyond. Who said so? The greatest rabbi in history. Who is the greatest rabbi in history of the world? It's quoted in Shaar HaTzion, Sivkoton Yutes. What's his name? Poshut. Obvious. If I have a tefach like this, and I can extend it all the way. So if I have two strings like this, less than three tefachim. So of course, I can also extend it. Poshut. Rabbi Poshut. There's no greater rabbi in the world than Rabbi Poshut. So says the holy Mishnah Berurah. As you can probably guess by now what I'm saying, not everyone agrees with Rabbi Poshut. Who disagrees? The Chazanish? Yeah. No less a source. Chazanish. Where'd he get it from? Look in Mishnah Berurah. Sivkoton Lamed Dalet. It's Sivkoton Lamed Dalet. It's a sukkah we'll have to learn Mitzvah Shem Amid Beis next week. With the Tefach, the magic shear of Tefach comes in. Ein Begagol Tefach. Where does Tefach come from? Says Mishnah Berurah Lamed Dalet. Avlim Yesh Begagol Tefach Choshiv Oel Keva V'chayev. Shekein matzinub ole tuma tefach. Comes from Rabbeinu Chananu. There's a connection between tuma and hilchos ol b'shabbos. Says the Holy Chazon Ish. In tuma, one solid tefach transfers tuma here and there. If you have like this, two threads within three tefachim of each other, and there's some mace in between, there's no tumah transfer. Since it's related to tumah, as you see clear from the Rabbeinu Chananu, you cannot say what Rabbi Pashut says, just because you have one tefach you can extend it, so you have two rods you can extend it also. No! Then it's not true. Ida Mechaber, what did the Mechaber say? Based on the Gemara. The Mechaber said it's a vase. What did he say? He says, Im ein bein zeh lezeh shloshet tefachim, chashivi oel umutu lefros aleim b'shabbos machzeles. Yes, it's Chazanish. You can put a machzeles between one string and the other. That, yes. But to extend beyond that, no. Hear what's going on? Mishnah Berurah says the devil push it. If I have two strings and three tefachim, it's like it's closed, and I can extend till the end of 20 feet beyond. Most of an ol haroi. Chazanish says, no, that's not an ol haroi. In 2 minutes it wouldn't work. Ida Gemara. Well, it just means you can extend from here to here, because it's closed here, that's not beyond. So he, the greatest gedolim, could argue about the most fundamental points. Rav Mishmur says, it's possible. You can extend past the two rods were there from before Shabbos. Chazish is absolutely not allowed. You can only extend this, not beyond that. Isn't it amazing? How our gedolim, they live at the same time. Chazish had tremendous admiration to Mishnah Berurah. But he says, you think it's posh? I think it's not true. Yes, sir. No. Good. There's an interesting shaila. A fascinating shaila. Fascinating. Now, on the other hand, Chazanish is such an independent thinker, he has kulas also. Take a look over here, the last line in the Sibbeis, V'tevach sh'amru chutz min akricha. Dalit, avav rather than Be'al Gola, haritva, B'shem Tosfos, Shadikdugu Melashon Rashi, complicated Ritva and Erevin on Daf Kuv Beis. It's a little bit complex. In other words, you can't count the roll-up. You all know if you have a thing that rolls up. Like you have an awning, right? You roll it and then it gets... So the roll itself is probably more than a tefach. That doesn't count. It has to be out a tefach. What's rolled up doesn't count. Doesn't count. Mishnah Berurah explained to Zayin, says, to add to the kricha, it might be good. It could be relevant on the sukkahs when you roll it up. It's a wild chiddush l'kula. Our gedolim are independent thinkers. They don't call him machmirim, don't call him mekilim. He's machmir against the Mishnah Berurah here, and he's mekil against the simple pshat over here. You'll give a look in Chazanish. You have a chance. I don't have the time to go into it right now. I want to cover a little bit more ground. Rabbosai, we spoke about the Gemara on that kuf lamed ches amid beis. Let's get to it again. Kuf lamed ches amid beis. Kuf lamed ches amid beis. Kuf lamed ches amid beis. Ha de tanya good bekisna mutal de tosa b'shabbos. We had the word good we know about already. So Rashi explains good bekisna good b'ritzu also b'munach al mokom kavua shalom. When are you allowed to spread it out? Says the Halakha Gemara, Amarav lo shona le bebeiz b'nei Adam, aval b'Adam echad asur. Why? Beiz mitzrashi, beiz b'nei Adam lo mimtach le shafir. B'Adam echad, mimtach le shafir. Shemotcho al yosei zu, v'koshro ba, v'chozor motcho al zu, v'koshro ba. A distinction whether you make it two people or you make it with one person. Two people is good. Sorry about the pun. Two people is permissible, but one person it is prohibited. That's what it says. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. We'll see in a minute. Om Rabaye V'kila. What's a kila? The first word in the daf. Kila is chasana. What's a kila? It's some kind of a canopy. V'kila afilu biyud b'nei adam. So you know why? Ief shad lo mimtecha purta. What does that mean? It's impossible. It's impossible that it doesn't get spread out a little bit. The spread out is a new word which we haven't had before, which may make tremendous differences according to certain mefarsh. Let's take a look. Here's what it says. Let's go slow. Take a look, Rabosai, in the Ran on Daf Nun Vav of his base, or Kuf Nun Ches, in our new print. Look what he says. Quotes a Rashi for Ben Yonah. Kuf Nun Ches. Rabosai, it's column 2 in our print on Kuf Nun Ches. Quotes the Gemara. What's the story? One person, two persons. As he quotes Rashi. The Rambam. Hanota Parochas Bahayotze but Sorok Lizorok and Elodasa Oel Bishosh and Nota Mashma the Sphirle to good as a parochas. It's not horizontal, it's vertical. We'll come to that a little bit later. The Ravid says, no, not an oil at all. Lulos, you say those, the Chavein, it's another shot which we don't fully understand. Havein Yona, here we go. The Ba'odam Echor Havikasias Oel. Lechisha kosher v'kozer v'kosher k'derech binyan shabone ma'at ma'at. The normal way of construction is a little bit at a time. Aval b'shnei b'nei adam shaporsim t'chila v'chakak nos nagabe knufos ein ze k'binyan shein derech ha'binyan la'asos kula b'vasachas. Pahamad amin b'kila di ev shed lo mimtucha purta k'loma shein nefreses kula b'vasachas. Rabbi Yonah is a new yisod shot in this Gemara. If you do it in one shot, it's not derech binyan, and it's permissible. But if you do it gradually, in fact, is prohibited. Frek the Rashba, Rabbi Osai. What do you do with the Gemara and Beitza? Kedera, Rabbi Osai, all those cases, you can't put a kedera on top of a certain mechitzas, etc. Chavita, there it's put on in one shot. They put on in one shot. So the question is, what's the problem? Doesn't this Rabbi Yonah say over here, Rabbi Osai, that if you do it in one shot, it's ain't derech abin in the last kulub of Azaras? So what's the problem with the Kedera and all those other cases in Masechta, Beitza? It's also b'vasachas. Answer the Rashba, derech binyan b'kach, kevin shu'osa gam b'chitza z'achsha. Derech binyan b'kach. What does that mean? What does that mean? So here we go with a fight to the finish. Chazanish again against the world. Chazanish says that the Ikki Yisod over here is, if there's what he calls Mituach, we saw it a few times yesterday, Mituach and Chazanish, that's us no matter what. And he starts arguing with Mishnah Berurah again based on his Mituach story. Take a look at both sides. The Mituach is found in Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Chav Dalet. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Chav Dalet, which is again Rabbi Poshet. And he says it's wrong. Siv Dalet says, "Mita shimisoreges bechavolim im yesh bein chevel lechevel shloshet tvachim osur lifos aleh sanin should be over ahala." Okay, that's what it says. This is with the random name of the Rashba, right? Because he's using the Avertachtav. Fine. Says the Mishnah Berurah of Dalet. Fiyam bevur liel besiv gimel. The Mechaba passes against the Rashba Lechomer on Siv Gimel. Al Korchach Mari Hocha B'Shiyesh La Mechitzis HaMagiyos Loretz. It has walls. Abba B'Mita Shalonu Mutta B'Chol Gavin. Such a strange thing. The Mechaba seems to be Megil and Siv Gimel if there are no walls. And Machwin and Siv Dal. No! Referring to a case where there are walls. All walls. No walls, mutter. No, sorry, Mr. Brewer. Even no walls, it's us. You know why? Mituach. The magic word mituach. We saw three times in the Chazan. Mituach. You're taking a sheet, spraying it over. It's us no matter what. Us no matter what. Us no matter what. He claims that Tosus has to agree to this, has to agree, because the raya is some good. Good. The no mechitzas, or the mechitzas made from before, and, right? And how do you know no mechitzas? Because it's mutter with two people. Had there been mechitzas, it's also to make a mechitzas, no matter what, would have been also even with two people, not only with one person. So it must be a case of mechitzas, it's mutter anyway, excuse me, and it's going to be, even though, again, if it's two mechitzas, it's also no matter what. Must be the no mechitzah, from before mechitzah, kundus, whatever it may be. Afal pikein, mituach is us. Here's the chazanish, you saw nifla menorah, mituach, mituach, mituach. And he goes on the whole simon about mituach. The argument of Mishnah Berurah, Chavdal, and many other sources. And both sides, because I want to stay a shmooze, we're going to stop in the middle. The counterattack against chazanish, which it certainly is, will begin on Sunday, mitzvah, the regular time. Now I'm going to close the Gemaras with the Mishnah Berurahs and open a new book, a new page, a new era. You know, how should I say it? We're learning about Ohel, right? One of the Sfarim I've been using for the last few years is a beautiful Sefer of Chaim Freelander, which is based on the Pasuk, V'yodata ki shalom ha'olecha. When we learned Yevamos 2 years ago, we saw the Gemara quotes it in that Sama base, that someone who's Oed es ishto kegufo, Umechavdo Yosef Migufo. About him it said, Yodata ki shalom o'olecha. So it's even a connection, if you will, between Ohel and Shalom Bayis. I want you to have an Ohel Keva, not Chas v'chalila, an Ohel Aroi. Rachmona Litzlan. There are too many Ohel Arois going on in the world today, we've seen. Too many Ohel Arois, too many houses broken up, tents and homes with damage, which is disastrous. So we have to spend some time today, which is our Thursday shiur, which we talk about the parasha. I mean, I could connect it to the parasha easily, but I don't. I'd rather spend the time on the book itself. You about the marriage of Yaakov Avinu? Not for this minute. Let's go. The book is called "The River, the Kettle, and the Bird," and it was written in the year 5747 in Yerushalayim. Okay, that was 5774 inversion, not 4774. Because if you figure out how many years ago, it's been a long time ago. The problem's only gotten worse. Only gotten worse. Why is it called the river, the kettle, and the bird? Based on the Gemara Brachos. The person who sees a tachalom, either a nohar, or a kedera, or a bird, yitzapa l'shol. It's the Gemara Masech, the Brachos, that nun vav and beis. It's based on the Gemara's pshat over there. What's pshat? A river. There are three kinds of peace, he explains. I'm reading Mamash from page 1, and you can look at it later in the Chazar Olam. A river, what he calls the lowest level of peace. What's peace? Negative. We negative. Absence of conflict. And when I was growing up in the Cold War, talk about a non-aggression pact. Because we hate each other's guts, yeah. But a non-aggression pact. What did Lovin say last week's parasha? I won't cross this line to hurt you. You won't cross this line to hurt me. And we'll live in peace. Peace at a distance. A river. What's a river? Two cities, right? Go from one to the other. Two separate entities. When it's good for me to sell to you, I'll go to you. That's it. That's a river. Okay. What's the next? A kettle. What does the kettle do? Well, you know what a kettle does. You wanna cook up a cup of tea. So you have a kettle, you take water, put a fire underneath. Whoa! Fire and water! Fire and water! Those are opposites of each other. Opposites. But the fire and the water come together, although you can't make a cup of tea. Well, it's not just a question that, you know, I'll once in a while sell something to you. You're here, I'm there, we're never gonna get close to each other, we're not gonna do anything together. It's gonna, you know, I'll give something to you, you send something to me, back and forth. We're not doing anything together. But here, a kettle is water and fire doing something together. Together, they're taking cold water and making it into hot water for tea. Wow. So, this level of peace is not just that you're here, I'm there, we're always gonna have it at a distance, but we're gonna somehow have some connection through commerce or the like. No, a greater level of peace. We're going to join together to do something together. What's that? To heat up the water. Heat up the water. Third level. The bird. What is a bird? A bird has two talents. He can survive on land, and he can fly into the sky. Not the pshat, Rabosai. It just happens to be. No. It's one bird that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates, and he made it a certain way. You ever see the pigeons walk? You ever see the way pigeons walk? You see the pigeon? Klutzy, right? Looks klutzy, I mean, doesn't it? Yeah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it the ability to fly. If you could fly, you would also walk klutzy. Okay? When they fly, now even the flying, you know, it has certain things. It has its feet, it has to go this way, because it has to be able to walk as well. That's a whole different level. It's one unit. Not the water and the fire are two different things that come together to make tea. Here, you're not going to say the legs and the wings are two different things. No! The legs and the wings is part of one single organism called a bird. Oh, you got it, Rabbi Osai? Now we come to marriage. Marriage, the ultimate peace, shalom bayis. The simple is the peace of the river. The river. A husband has his life, the wife has her life. They try not to have disagreements, not to quarrel. But there are many marriages like this. I call them technical marriages. Technical marriages, it's not so much emotional attachment between them. But okay, they don't fight, they live to 120 without fighting. It's an accomplishment. It's no small accomplishment. No small accomplishment. You don't hear the pots and pans flying and the yell people screaming. And I have unfortunately dealt with such situations. So it's not a small accomplishment to have the peace of the river in a married life. I'm going to tell you again for the fifth time. It's not a small accomplishment. Okay, technical marriage. There's a kettle. The kettle. Obviously they do things which each one can't do by himself. Obviously. Two different people. They have to have, you know. Viva la différence. They're two different things. You can't have everybody should be making a living and taking care of the house. This is 87, before there were so many women. There was already then many by then. Neither can be a father and a mother. That's physically. Each need the other to create what we call the functioning household. So they love each other. Love. Because without this other person, my husband and my wife, we can't function as a couple and then establish a home. The mission of the Pirkei Avos is called an Ava HaTluya B'Dover. Botel HaDover, says the Mishnah. Botel HaAva. And he gives a beautiful example of this. Even in the unfortunate in our community, he calls it the empty nest divorces of middle-aged couples. I've seen too many of them. For 20 years they lived in peace, or relative peace. You know why? Because they were so busy doing things together. They had to have children together, raise their children together. Okay, 20 years have passed, maybe 25, I don't know, 30. All the kids are out of the house. And especially today, where the women often have their own source of livelihood. The physical attraction wanes. They're both saying, let me tell you one thing, when you get to a certain age, it's not the same as it was when you're younger. So, hey man, what's the debek? What's the glue? What's keeping us together? They drift apart. And the OL, I wouldn't quite call it an OL Aroy, it lasted for 30 years, but it falls on itself. The lack of the glue. Terrible. They never went beyond the stage of the kettle. For the bird. The peace of the bird. That's what we have to try to aspire to. What does that mean? Each spouse identifies with the other. You do not view yourself as an independent entity. The famous line of Ira Levine comes to mind. He went with his wife to a doctor, foot doctor. And the doctor said, what's the problem? And Rabbi said, Haregel shalanu ko'evet. Our foot hurts. What's going on over here? Her foot hurt. Haregel shalanu ko'evet. Her foot is my foot. Wow, what am I drinking? They have such an attachment, they don't view themselves as separate entities. And to quote from this beautiful, beautiful sefer, I'll call it, an emotional bond has been created between them, no longer mutual dependency or where the benefits received. They're keenly sensitive to the other's needs as if it was their own. Happy to give to the other to receive. I've said in the past, we spoke about Rav Dessler sefer, and quoted by Rav Shlomo Valba and Rav Friedlander, all the big mashgichim of Eretz Yisrael for the last 50 years, saying the same thing. A happy marriage is a marriage where you give to the other party, not where you take. If you take, then it's, unfortunately, it's an ava kliya b'davar. Batla davar, batla ava. Yeah, you have to constantly make a financial reevaluation. You're studying a spreadsheet. Is it red ink? Is it black ink? Am I gaining? Am I losing? It's a bad business. You just sell it. Rachmon al nislan, are those of you married that way. What do I gain from my spouse? What do I have to give to my spouse? Certain time of life, forget it. It's a losing proposition. Dump him, dump her. Rachmon al nislan. As Rav Dessler said, every chasn kala, remember the marriage is a giving relationship. If you are in your life to give to the other party, you will always be happy. And to quote from Rav Dessler, it's not in this book, but aren't you supposed to love someone who gives to you and not love someone to whom you give? There's a famous line every now, it's already very world famous. Ava milashon hav. Give. The more you give, the more you love the person to whom you give. And he tells the story of the Holocaust. There was a couple that was broken up by the armies of the Germans. The husband ran with the children this way, and the wife ran that way. Some survived 5 years of difficulty, and they came out. The mother could never have the same relationship with the children as the father had. Never. Why not? Because your mother's even closer with the children. Because for 5 years, he gave so much to them. He risked his life for them. He did everything for them under the most difficult circumstances. His love for them. You say, theirs for him? No, not theirs for him. His for them. Because he gave so much of himself to them, he loved them. Incredible. That's how marriage is supposed to be. You give so much to your spouse, but your love is so strong. So strong. Clearly, Rabbi Osai, there are three stages over here. It's first the river, and then the kettle, and then the bird. Has to go that way. Has to. I quote, most marriages founder on the peace of the river. These are most of the early divorces. We know too many that divorced after 3 months. It's a new mishigas now. I'm telling you, I kid you not. I just got called. 3 months. That's it, 3 months. The river, they never got along. They never got along. They just never got along, nothing. They were always angry, they were always annoyed. There was no connection. We're only like two cities who sell wares up and down the river. Not even that. Those are the early divorces primarily. So you have to understand how to overcome the problems to reach the peace of the river, and then the kettle, and then the bird. Okay. So he wants to know why marriages don't work. Chapter 2. Because in the U.S., the average divorce rate is nearly 50%. That's 1987. What's it now? I think it's above 50%. No?
Well, maybe a little bit.
A little bit. Okay, it hasn't changed. Thank God it hasn't gotten that. Could have been 90%. So it's 50%. Half the marriage ended in divorce approximately in America. What about Torah-observant Jews? Torah-observant Jews, he says. He says, according to reliable estimates, the divorce rate of Orthodox couples in the U.S. has tripled in the last 20 years, from 67 to 87. Most of them divorces during the early years of marriage. Let me tell you, I think that much more than tripled. I don't have a benchmark of 20 years. I only have a metric of 30 years. The 30 years, this book came out in 1988. The 30, 87. I know in 1958, 29 years before this book came out, I moved to Queens. So I had a benchmark. So a big shul with hundreds of people. It's called Yom Yisrael of Kew Garden Hills. Everyone ever heard of it? Shomfel Shul, Shomfel Baruch Hashem, rabbi there. Hundreds and hundreds, of 400 members at the time. And you know what? I was a kid before my mitzvah. You heard? In the front row, there's a guy there who's divorced. It divorce, I'm telling you, was less than 1%. I can't say for sure, but in a pretty big random sample of 400 people that we knew about, I mean, I didn't know some things, 1%. By the time it came to 30 years later, 1987, believe me, it's more than 3%. Believe me. I'm not sure what it was then, I'm not sure what it is now. They don't have any estimates.
Yeah, I think it's like 30-something.
What?
Yeah.
Chas v'shalom, I'm not mekabel. I'm not mekabel.
I think it is.
I'm not mekabel. 30% of the Orthodox Jewish community are divorced? I can't be, I cannot, I'm going to cry. I'm going to start crying in front of you. I can't be mekabel that. Please find out it's not true. Please tell me it's not true. Look it up, please. Okay, come back on Sunday. Don't ruin my Shabbos. I'm assuming it's not true. So you show me on Sunday. 30%. Rachmona litzlan. But I owe you. I was going to say, it became a mir tamatzui. If we define mir tamatzui like the mission of Yaakov last year, it's more than 10. That I'm willing to concede. How do I know? It's already, but it's not just from now. You tell me it hasn't gone up by the Goyim since 1987 too much. I hope it hasn't gone up by us either. And about 1987 or something like that, I was looking at the application form that they had in my summer camp, Kirt Marasha. And all of a sudden I see a new entry. You probably get it, what year they put it in. Father's name, mother's name, and they put in a blank question. Are parents divorced? Rachmanu l'Islam. If it's a mir she'en amotzi, you don't have to put that in the application. It became a mir tamotzi, and they have problems, divorce with your father, the mother, you listen to it. But I can't get used to it. Every time I hear, it says, Mizbech Moed Lev Demos. I remember, it must have been around that time, 87, and I was sitting around on the start of a ball field on a Friday, and I asked the top of the, one of the Kol guys, said, where do you live? And it's the question, what could be one isn't that? He answered me back, I live in Teaneck and Englewood. I'm starting to cry right there. I don't know what that means. That means his parents are divorced. Shem Yerachem. Shem Yerachem. It's terrible. Most of the divorces in the early years of marriage. That's what it says. And the broken marriage in the population, it's a disaster. Disaster. There's wounds, there's scars, even second marriages. A disaster. But the question becomes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo tov ve'yos adam levado, how could something designed by Hashem to improve man's lot cause such misery, Rabosai? What happened to Hashem's plan? The answer is, in short, man's abuse of marriage. When an instrument is used without regard to the manufacturer's instructions, is it any wonder that it does not work efficiently, it does not work at all? So what are the manufacturer's instructions? I'm telling you now the most important thing in your life. What are the manufacturer's and Kodesh Baruch's instructions for marriage? You have to know how to use it, right? Then who has a driver's license over here? What's a driver's license? Did you have to take a class to know how to use the car? You have a class when you get married? If you don't listen to me now, I mean, we may not have any classes. This is your driver's license. You get a marriage license, but there's no 5-hour class that they have for not even 5 hours to know how to get a marriage license. You just walk in there, and a man, I don't want to say anything after that. Okay, you walk in, two people, and they give you a marriage license. That's another wound that I bear. Shut me around. Okay. We're talking traditional marriage now. Okay? So, what did Hashem say? Hashem created man on the physical level, on the emotional level, on the spiritual level. Lo tov ve'yos ha'odom levado, on all three levels. Physical level, the Raavad Es HaKasha, in the introduction to Baal HaNefesh, what do you mean lo tov? It would be extinct. It would be extinct if you pair by himself. So lo tov. So he says, the first point of marriage is to prevent the extinction of the human race. You have to have a spouse to produce children. The rabbi gives a different answer, but perhaps we'll discuss it later on. He talks about the human drive, what he calls it, the sex drive. He says, this prevents men from being preoccupied with it, unfortunately, and allows them to utilize what Kadosh Baruch created in people, in men and in women. Well, see, he's talking about men. This whole book's written for men. You can write the same book on the other side for women. But we're talking to a male audience here. HaKadosh Baruch created it within you. If you have it, don't think there's something wrong with you. Fakeret. If you don't have it, something's wrong with you. I've told you once the story about Elio Lapian. Rabbi Lapian gave a fiery shmooz for Chassidim way back in the way old days not to go to the beach. Well, they had separate beaches. They go to the beach because the women aren't dressed properly. So one time I went over to Rabbi Lapian and said, Rebbe, I don't understand you. My family's, you know, modern. We go to the beach, and I've been there many times, and the girls in bathing suits, and there's no effect on me whatsoever. None. So Elliot pounded the table. Quick, fetch a doctor. This boy is sick. Al Chacham understood human nature. There's nothing wrong. That's Kadosh Baruch Fakert creates that in a man. It's a very strong, strong drive. And if not for that drive, the Gemara is in Masechta Sanhedrin. No one get married. Chazal tried to cancel it. They did. For 3 days, they canceled the Yetzer Hara for Arayos. Couldn't find a fresh egg. All the systems broke down. Even the chicken, egg, and egg, even that broke down. They had to restore it. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, we're only restored for Het and not for Yisrael. That's you asking too much of me. Although he did, according to the Gemara, eliminate the Yetzer Hara for incestual relationships that used to exist before that. As I stated in the Gemara Sanhedrin. Anyway, it's a very strong drive. And in our world, let's be frank, the drive precedes the age of marriage. The Gemara discusses marriage at 18. The Gemara in Kiddushin talks about getting married at 16. If I get married at 14, I can tell the Sultan, eh. And the Vilna Gaon explains 14 means 13. Bar mitzvah. Everything's in 18 means it's the 18th year. So you're bar mitzvah. You get married. You know, I want to tell you, if you get married, it's bar mitzvah. It's very economical. Like two parties, a mitzvah shebang and a wedding. Imagine how much money we can save. It's too late for you. Don't you dare let your children do that. Don't try to save money making a mitzvah wedding. Don't do that. But in some other world that we no longer inhabit, that was the ideal. Before the Yetzer Hara starts getting too strong for the guy, you get married. I'm not talking lemaisa, about saying. I don't think you should get married at 13. I don't think you should get married at 18. Because we don't have the maturity, now the psychological maturity, to make right decisions. And I'm not ready to, you know. You get married when you're ready to get married, whatever that is. But the first decision should at least be two. And then that's beyond your zeit. Before that, after that we can talk. But before that, is there anyone in this room whose first decision is still one? Everyone's already past two. Okay, so you can all get married tomorrow if you want, in my opinion. But I'm not saying you have to. Okay, so, right. Okay, that's the physical level. But it's also emotional. Rabbo say, Lo tov heyosa adam levado. Alone is a disaster. Being alone is an emotional disaster. It's terrible. It's terrible. It really is a terrible thing. It's terrible. Now, you're too young, most of you, to feel it. Yeah, what kind of alone? I have my chavrusas, I have my roommates, I have my classmates, I have my schoolmates. That's for now. There comes a point in life when everyone starts getting married, you're going to feel. I remember a guy once came over to me when I was, some of my friends were getting married, I was still single. I was sitting by myself at a wedding. He came to me with an expression in Yiddish. He's sitting there, Alein v'yashtein, which means you're alone as a stone. I didn't feel that way. I'm sorry. I don't know. I didn't feel that at that point in my life. But shortly thereafter, I did start getting, But they say the old gang ain't what it used to be. This guy's just starting to abandon ship and get married and leaving you high and dry. So you feel a little bit of a feeling of being alone. So that's the time to try to find the proper marriage partner. You spoke about it in Parashas Chayesar and told us. You spoke about it twice a little bit. To look for Chesed and Tznius and the Daven, as we spoke about in previous weeks. Not only does marriage provide a close emotional relationship. That's the closest that can possibly exist. That's even true by Goyim, for those who have a proper married life. But for us as Yidden, it's a spiritual closeness. spiritual closeness. You have a Yetzirah. The Yetzirah gets in your way. The only way to channel the Yetzirah properly is to get married. And there was an invaluable prerequisite for spiritual accomplishment. Let's say Ben Azai. That's a one in a billion, I don't know how to say it. No one has Ben Azai. You have to get married. The Gemara says that Chalila v'chas, a person loses a spouse, so loses a wife, so you have to get married. Have more children, don't have more children. Ben Bonim, ain't Ben Bonim, but to stay by yourself is not right. Lo tov ayosan levado. Obviously, as long as the physical drives are strong, even more reason. But even later on in life, when they're not so strong, emotional companionship. It's very important. It's very important to have a spouse. Now, unfortunately, if people lose a spouse, never to illness, or they're getting old age, they're not always able to start again. Difficult. We'd ever want to have to know for these things, to think about these things. But it exists in real life. I remember my father's Zichrono Livracha. After a while of being, after my mother passed away, he decided he wants to get married. And we had mixed feelings of children. Remember Rabbi Goldberg from Karim Yam told me 4 words about it. Tov lo v'tov lachem. Tov lo, you shouldn't be alone. And tov lachem, that there's someone else to you can confide in, you can take care of him, you can worry about him. He was so right. Remember Rabbi Schoenfeld, Shalita, told me at the time, I think from the Ger Rebbe, that when his father remarried, lost the wife, you know, the Ger Rebbe told him, the Ger Chassid, that by Yosef Avram, we read a couple of weeks ago, by Yikach Isha Shema Keturah, by Yosef Avram, the person is at older age, he wants to keep doing things and doing more things, they have to go on and add things. You have to have a wife. It's not good to be alone even at any age, at any stage in life. Okay. Doesn't mean that marriage will lead you to spiritual perfection. Chas v'sholom, to think spiritual thing. On the other hand, you have to have a kedusha and a tahara and a ruchnius, which cannot exist without a marriage. He gives a famous gemara. Hashem allowed his name to be erased to make shalom bayis for the isha sota. Says our Feldman Shlita. This isha sota is not exactly the world's biggest tzaddikus. After all, was in seclusion with a man over her husband's objection. So this is not from the woman who's this is not Rebbe Kanyevsky. This is not someone who said Tillim all day and helped people, and she was busy with some man in a private place. Afal Pikein, says Hashem Yisbarach, said it, have my name erased for this marriage. The less than, far less than an ideal marriage. It's amazing. So, how do you achieve this? How do you achieve this? Physical, emotional, spiritual. How do you do it? You have to have all three. You need the physical. We said before, the drives have to be channeled in a proper way. And Chazal explained that the physical connection, the intimacy, is a significant portion of what they call today shalom bayis. Furish Gemara talks about it. If a person lost his ability to do that, so then the shalom bayis is now going to be compromised. But chas v'shalom, to be involved in a physical relationship, which is purely selfish, for self-gratification. Chalila v'chalila v'chalila. How does the Torah phrase it? O nosa lo yigra. You know, I'm sorry to talk such crass language, but you have to hear what's going on. In the outside world, I'm sorry to say it, please forgive me in advance, but I have to say it. In the outside world, women are viewed, again forgive me, as a sex object. That's the idealization of the women, half naked, more than half, however it's... And the Hollywood stars, and that's all the advertisements for everything from cars to toothpaste. It's all half-naked women. What's you have to do with a car with toothpaste? Because they want to catch the human eye. The human eye is a roving eye. Okay? And this leads to an entire, how should I say it, industry of this particular Yetzer Hara being foisted upon us everywhere, Rachmana Litzlan, and it's for self-gratification, and the woman is an object. Chas v'sholem, chalila v'chalila. By us, if anything, it's the other way around. The Torah describes the marital act in opposite terms. Lo yigra, the man may not deprive his wife of what she's entitled to for the physical marriage. And v'simach ha'sishtoa shalakaki should make her happy. Yes, it's true, she has to also correspondingly do what's right. She should be what we call a moredes, mitash, which the Gemara's concept of this thing. She should try to make her husband happy. All this is true. But the way that the Torah itself describes it in these two places is it's the husband's obligation. And this creates a strong emotional bond as well. Self-gratification, if anything, is the opposite. It could weaken, chalila v'chas, an emotional bond. It's such an important thing. Yes, we believe in the physical aspect of marriage, but as a physical aspect, in order to yield an emotional closeness, in order to build upon that, the spiritual closeness. Of course, Moira Abosai, you understand very well that where we come from, we believe in tradition, it doesn't go that way chronologically. About a goyim, you know, today anyway, they were all living together before they married anyway. They have to experiment physically before they see if it's something which is worthwhile. Rachmana Litzlan. Rachmana Litzlan. It's on the Yisroom, the Raisim, the Koreis, whatever. But we believe that the marriage partner must be chosen based on the spiritual and then the emotional and only later the physical. Backwards. Sure, in how should we say it, from the perspective of conceptual, it's the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. From the chronological perspective, it's the reverse. You first have to find a woman who is on your page spiritually. You share ideals, you share spiritual concepts, and yes, you have to check out what we said before, the chesed and the tznius, which we spoke about earlier. Then, in the dating process, there has to be evolved an emotional attachment. Rabosai, if the girl looks good on paper, and you like it, on a paper it's a perfect match, but there's no emotional connection, you are not allowed to get married. Usser to get married, because if there's no emotional closeness, it's not going to last. But on paper, it's right. Who cares about paper? We're not robots getting married. We're human beings with emotions. Yes, the actual physical closeness comes last, but the physical attraction has to come first. The woman has to be pleasing to his eye. Otherwise, they're not allowed to get married. Again, not allowed. It's a Gemara Mefereshes. You can't marry a woman without seeing her first, with shliach. Why? Because maybe it's got to be Eino. It's going to hate her. It's going to be called a divorce, chalila. It's going to be a disaster. On the other hand, Rabbi say, don't expect that the girl you're going to marry should be a model on the front page of some kind of magazine. For two reasons. One, you're not. That's reason number one. Tachlis here. Mechilas quote to Rascha. Yeah. And number two, that's not what we're looking for. Chalila v'chas is such a woman. You want a woman who's pleasing to your eye? And I've said it so many times, I'll say it again. Rabbi say, I paskin for you. It's a psak halach. It's a Gemara Mefereshes. Benos Yisrael no saying. Gemara Nedarim. We paskin that Jewish women are pretty. Every single one? No. What it means is, go back to our categories from last year. Those women who aren't pretty is a miyut she'ain no mazui. You find the women now, unfortunately. I mean, we don't want to talk about it too loud. But that means 90%+ of the women are pretty. No, I'm saying. By standards which you should employ. Okay. Everyone has his own. I want this. I can't speak for you. Everyone has their own attractions and repulsions. But if you get everyone is not pretty enough for you, something's wrong with you. It's up a curse question. It's against the Gemara. You're passing against the Gemara. Please listen to what I'm telling you. Okay. This is critical. So therefore, if the physical attractiveness is what's motivating you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Many of those who have the following, it's a little bit more subtle. What kind of impression she makes. She's good, she's not good. What will others think of her? And then the others will never marry for the money. Marry for the money. Ma'aseh b'chol yom. Says the Gemara, Hano se'isha l'shemom and chalidah v'chas havelan bonim she'enem u'gonim. His children won't turn out right. Rachmana l'tzlan. Why not? Because he has not been mulu l'shem shemayim. Ramah is a different shot. We're not going to Ramah right now. The bottom line, as he says it so beautifully, what are the ways to destroy yourself? Three. Kina, tava, and kovet. So, physical attractiveness is tava. How your wife will measure up to other women, you know, it's more, makes a better impression. That's kina. And kovet, we read last week, whom asher al-yavin also has called a kovet hazeh, and kovet al-amamen. Money. If you're married for one of these three things, you're taking yourself out of this world. You're ruining yourself. So therefore, why do marriages go awry? Because people don't follow the instruction manual. The point of marriage is to be selfless and to help another person for the rest of your life. Men or women who marry for selfish reasons are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Not. Now, in the remaining time, a number of other critical points. Some people have a fantasy about marriage. Marriage is mamish. It's a perfect thing, marriage. It's going to be, as soon as I get married, I'm going to be in Gan Eden, Atachten, as we say, Samech, Samech Re'a Be'um, Kisamech Yitzircha B'Gan Eden Miked. I'm going to be in Gan Eden, Atachten once I get married. Rabosai, it's not true. It's not true. I the bracha. The bracha is a bracha. Okay, we pray for Hashem to try to make them as happy as they were. Adam and Chava, they also had a problem. Got Adam because it didn't last too long there either. But for these, Rabosai, the two fantasies. One, married people are constantly in love. Two, spouses have no faults. They're both wrong. They're fantasies. 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 It's not true. They're not true. Every person has faults. As a proper spouse, what you're supposed to do is overlook the faults. Not be oblivious to them. You cannot be oblivious completely. Overlook them and put them in context. I both have the Shtigl Torah once said. It says in the Gemara, Masechta Moed Katan, that a chassan for 7 days you do not scrutinize his negoyim. Even if he has a nega, you can't pronounce him as tamei. B'yom eros b'mosach hayid masech chazal yesh yomim shiyat teroah. It's Yom Tov, 7 days of Yom Tov, Pesach and Sukkos, and the week of Shavuot Brachos. On a simple level, it means it's a Yom Tov, give him a break. I want to have a deeper idea. But Meir Simcha Meshachov writes in Parshas Tazria, it says, V'ra'o HaKohen, the Kohen will see, and then it says, V'ra'o Hu HaKohen. On a simple level, V'ra'o HaKohen means he will see it, he'll see the Nega. It says that I actually know. V'ra'o Hu, he'll see him. What we call today the holistic view. Look at the whole person. The whole person is a chassan. Or the whole person, it's yantif, it's Pesach and Sukkos. You don't pronounce them tough. But there's a nega there. There's a nega. I see the nega. What's going on? I see the nega. Put the nega in context. And here's that we can say, Al Pi Hashkafa, that's why a chassan, we don't pronounce it the Gan Tamei. Because his role in the first week of marriage, he will discover faults about his wife that he never knew before, and vice versa. Let's just talk on the basic level. See that I see there's a little birthmark on your big toe. She says to him, I never saw that before. She never saw that as socks. But she shouldn't. Maybe if she has she wears stockings, and she probably should. He hasn't seen that thing under her stockings either. A birthmark on the toe, or there could be another part that closer to the main part of the body that certainly have to be covered. I never had a birthmark there. I'm out of here. What are you, crazy? Where is a mum? A mum. We saw it when we learned your vomits. A mum. Put it in context. You're not perfect either. Everyone has a mum. So since the chazan is told to overlook the physical mum, we don't look at his mum and say your neck, I say your tummy. But I say it's much more than that. Peaceful personal habits are not, should be not known to a spouse left of their marriage. One of my favorite examples. Okay, they get married, and the first thing you know, they have to have they're now sharing a bedroom, they're sharing a bathroom, they're sharing everything, right? Okay, comes the first day, and the husband's a good husband, he's sort of, he brushes his teeth. Do you all brush your teeth, everybody? I hope so. You all brush your teeth? Do you all use toothpaste? Yeah? So, the guy takes a toothpaste, and he wants to get a toothpaste. As he goes like this, he puts a press and the toothbrush and the thing, and it comes out. She is aghast. That's not how I was taught. I was taught the proper way is to push it from the bottom so she'll all go up. I want a divorce. The guy's on a bench. He doesn't know how to put the toothpaste out of the tube. Or he takes too many showers or too few showers. Or you put in whatever people didn't know before. It's ridiculous. You have to overlook it. You're two different people from two different backgrounds, from two different homes, and you're two different individuals. And you have differences. And whatever you consider to be a fault, so forget about it. Overlook it. It's a garnish. Put it in context. Look at the whole person. Why do you marry this person? Because of his or her tremendous malice. Not going to say, oh, I have this concern. I have to be upset about it. Spouses are not perfect. Not physically. Not in their personal habits. But it goes further than that. Goes further than that. He thinks that the person is so great, because she has a perfect behavior. Every day she's a perfect behavior. Every day she comes, as like dressed, and she's never cross with him. She's always polite, always smiling. And he to her, why not? That's what you're supposed to be on a date. All of a sudden, they get married. You let your guard down. Suddenly I'm no longer dressed so perfectly. I mean, they're in the house, not dressed so perfectly. And I may get angry once in a while. And I may say things that shouldn't really be said, be it a man or a woman, Rafa. It's terrible. Supposed to be in love all the time. That's a fantasy. There will be times, Rabbi Osai, when there are going to be certain tensions between husband and wife. It's inevitable. Can't help it. And the requirement is to overlook whatever little faults you may find. No one is perfect. Nobody in the world is perfect. Nobody. If you see an imperfection in your spouse, remember, you're probably further from perfect than she is. This is critical. It's critical. But what happened? They had a fight. My good colleague, Rabbi Rosenblatt, and I have a machlokes when he speaks to a chassan kala before they're married. I'll end with this. He tells us, every couple, how to make up after a fight. He's assuming that a push will be fights galore. And how do you make up after a fight? And I say, don't fight. Don't fight. What's that mean? What do we mean, don't fight? Because people don't agree. A man has to know that he is the one who has to be more careful in this regard. And I'll end with what we spoke about in the past, the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus. We covered the first three chapters in this book, and Blinetta will try to do more as we go. The Rambam writes, about a husband, lo ye otze velo ragzon. He may not be sad or angry. Doesn't say about the wife. Doesn't say it. She has to give him respect. Yeah, here, beina, kemo saro, beina kemo saro melech. Oh, she has to give him respect. Yeah. Doesn't say she can't be angry or sad. Doesn't say that. You know why? Because the female nature, which we'll discuss next time, does not allow for that. Whether for hormonal reasons, which are ovarian, women are sometimes sad. I told the story of Rav Dov Lipschitz, one of the Rav, told a young chassan about his wife. Three words in Yiddish. Zi vet veinen. She will cry. You understand what Rav Dov is telling me? I have this great wife, which I know the wife is a great woman, unflappable. What do you mean she's going to cry? It's a Gemara Mefereshes. Dim asa metzuya. Dim asa metzuya. They'll cry from emotional fronts more quickly than a man will. Especially their hormones up and down and around and all kinds of things. So Rav Dov was saying to this young chassan, don't be shocked when it happens. It's gonna happen. I guarantee you it's gonna happen. It will happen. At some point it's gonna happen. It's gonna be sad in that sense. Set. And therefore, she may even be angry. They talk about PMS. You know what PMS stands for? It's a murder defense in some jurisdictions. I've often said that So the man is not allowed to. He may not be sad or angry. I said he had a tough day at the office. He's angry. The boss gave him a what for? That's closed when you're outside the house. Before you go into the house, you go like this. Big smile. Forget about all the tourists in the office. Hi, hi dear. Hi honey. Whatever you want to say. Hannah, whatever you want to say there. Because she's counting on you. You're not allowed to be angry. Not just angry at her. Not to be angry, period. Or sad, period. Because if she's counting on you. You're the rock. The chosen compared to the sun. The sun is always the sun. The full sun. Right? The moon waxes and wanes. A woman is shady de lavona, as they say in Yiddish. As beautiful as the moon. But the moon has ups, has full, and sometimes it's a little bit not so full. And the month is a very important, for those who know a little bit of biology, the month is, Not just the moon has a monthly cycle. Women also do. So they have different moods, different phases, if you will. And the man has to be strong and to support his wife in all of these phases. One of the strongest, maybe I'm just, says, a man when he gets mad marries four women. Four women? I've been a Gershon. He can't marry two. No. He's marrying a Tahora and a Nida and a Mubaris and a Oledis. Four women. Oh, Hashem should only be good to us. And it's four different stages. You have to know how to deal with all four. And what happens if your wife lashes out of you? You have to be like the sun. This I conclude. Why does it say that Hanalovim Veinam Olvin, Shomim Cherposim Veinam Meshivim, etc.? Aleam Akos Lomim Ve'Oav Kitzes Hashemesh Bigvurosim. Why pick that metaphor of the sun? That the Das came in Mibali Atosis in Bereshis. The moon complained. Ein Shnei Malachim Mishtamishim Bekeserel. What was the sun's response? Silence. That's why he became the sun. Great ball of fire. So if you are silent and someone else bothers you, certainly if your wife bothers you and taunts you and teases you and she's upset at you and she's pouting, etc. And you are like the sun, who can chosen? Sounds like a chosen, chosen like the sun. It's the highest madrig. Abosai, you began an important shmuz, we'll continue with that for future weeks. All be zochet to an oel shel keva to build bottom their money v'kayama v'yisrael amin v'yom. Good Shabbos to one and all. Thank you.